Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. This is Robert Mouse. This is the show where we affirm the value and fun of working and playing with dreams and synchronicity and using more of our imagination. I have a wonderful guest today. She's one of my favorite dreamers. Her name is Teresa Vasquez. She's a distinguished educator, a wonderful creative artist, and she's one a teacher of active dreaming. She's doing a lot with this in Indianapolis and Illinois and other places and inspiring people all over the map. Welcome, Teresa.
Thank you, Robert.
Well, I'm going to jump right in. I understand you have an exciting dream from last night. We always want fresh material. So if you have a dream, in a moment I'm going to ask you to share it with us, and we're going to demonstrate the core technique of active dreaming that we call the Lightning Dreamwork Technique. If you're new to this, let me slow down a little bit. This is a very simple, very fun, four-step technique process for sharing dreams or, in fact, any kind of story from life, which enables you to create a safe and fun space to share your story and get some non-intrusive, non-authoritarian feedback and be guided towards action to embody the power and magic of what might be coming to you from a deeper place. And in the process, you learn to tell your story much better so that people are ready and eager to hear you. That's part of real power in everyday life, being able to tell our stories so that others want to hear them. And Teresa's very good at this. So, Teresa, I'd love you to share the title of your dream and then a clear, simple narrative of the dream itself.
Okay. So this dream is called It's All Gardening.
It's all what?
It's all gardening. It's all gardening. Everything is gardening.
Okay.
So I'm working in the garden, but all the work that I'm doing isn't just the typical gardening, things like planting and transplanting, weeding, watering, but I'm also doing my actual job as well as my art out in the garden. And others come and go as is appropriate. If there's a meeting, people come to the garden, then they leave, or I'm working on art pieces out in the garden. And there's a couple of plants that kind of featured prominently in this dream. One was sage, and the other was evening primrose. And these are both plants that I currently have in my front garden. I have seeds that I've been nurturing, and they are almost ready to transplant, and in this dream I was actually planting them in the garden. So that was the dream.
It's a happy dream, isn't it? So if you're following the process with Teresa, the first step is to get the dreamer or the storyteller, tell the story simply and clearly and give it a title. We did that. And then we ask a few essential questions, the first of which around a dream is always this. What are your first feelings coming out of the dream? So, Teresa, what are your first feelings around this dream?
Well, the first feelings were feelings of comfort and also being at home, feeling very comfortable in my environment out in the garden.
Certainly. And then the second question is the reality check, and it's got two aspects. The first is to ask Teresa, what do you recognize this in the rest of your life? You covered part of that already, but let's do it again. What do you recognize from the garden in your dream with gardens and gardening and regular life?
Mm-hmm. Well, for one, I had set an intention, and my intention, which, you know, I think is really important if you're trying to guide your dreams, was, what shall my dream for Robert Show be? And so I have been speaking with a coworker of mine and someone who is involved also in classes that I'm wanting to teach. We worked together yesterday kind of scouting out locations for a class that we want to create called The Art of the Dream. And she mentioned, you know, maybe we could have this at our houses. Maybe we could have it out in your yard. I've seen pictures of your yard on social media, and maybe it would be a cool place to do our class. And I thought, okay. And then also, I heard a podcast yesterday about a man named Ron Finley, and he calls himself the Gorilla Gardener, and he has a TED Talk out that speaks about cultivating the garden of your mind.
Yeah.
And so this is very much on my mind, I believe, as I was sleeping and dreaming.
And the second part of the reality check you have again covered in your brilliant way already to some extent is to ask what parts of this dream might manifest in the future literally or symbolically. So now you're talking, Teresa, about actually holding dream-sharing groups, dream classes in the yard, in the garden, in ordinary life. I mean, that would be one way of honoring it, of course. Another thing in the future, of course, might be that you let the garden of dreams grow in a broader sense within community. You mentioned specific flowers, specific things in your garden, the evening primrose and so on. How important are those things to you?
Well, I would say sage is a plant that I'm very familiar with and I work with all the time, every morning. Part of my morning ritual is to burn sage and salute the four directions and up, down, and center. And so I do that with sage. So we have a very kind of steady relationship. And also I grow sage. I have one sage plant that has come back a couple of years in my garden, but I wanted more, so I've planted some, and they're ready to transplant here in a few days.
Fantastic. So you might be bringing sage and all that it represents in terms of calling positive energies into a space. You might be spreading that around, too. And the last question we ask, because we're demonstrating the process as well as talking about Teresa's dream, is we ask, what do you want to know? You had an intention. You told us what it was. The dream flows from the intention, perhaps, but is there something in the dream that you're curious about right now, something you'd like to know more about?
Yes. The main question that I have is, how can gardens work, kind of work in quotation marks, be at the center of all of my work, you know, all of the various endeavors that I take on, whether it be dream work or artwork or the work that I do with my workplace.
Okay. Well, now we do the third step in the four-step lightning dream work process. Again, we're demonstrating a protocol, a process, as well as talking about a wonderful dream. The third step is to say very nicely, very politely to the dreamer or the storyteller, if it were my dream, if it were my story, if it were my life, I'd think about this or that. So if it's my dream, Teresa, actually my mind goes to a synchronistic encounter I had in a library at McGill University in Montreal, in the Islamic Studies Center of Montreal. And I went to an octagonal building, a marvelous building, which had a huge display of books and pictures of gardens, particularly from Ottoman Turkey, from the Islamic world in a certain time, demonstrating the point that paradise is a garden. The origin of the word paradise is garden. And in the Islamic world, I mean the good Islamic world, gardens are everywhere. They're a pathway to healing. They're the image of the heavenly situation you like to be in. So I'm thinking your garden in your dream, if it's my dream, is indeed heavenly. It's bringing heaven to earth, bringing paradise to earth, bringing people into space where we can let 100 blossoms grow, 100 flowers bloom, in beauty and in tolerance and in mutual harmony and healing. So I'm very juiced and happy about the dream, and certainly when you talk about literally transplanting things, transplanting sage, and what that means to you, I think of how much your work as a teacher of active dreaming and as an artist and as an inspirer and compassionate carer for others can bring healing and juice and joy to people around you, and I know you're on that path. So when we get to the last part of the process, which is step four, which is to say, What action will you now take? You've got given us some responses already, but let me ask it very clearly. What actions will you now take to bring the dream forward and honor its energy and its beauty?
Wow. Well, I think for one, I will be continuing to garden because I learn a lot from working in the garden. I learn about growth. I learn about beauty. I learn about how to nourish my body with the various vegetables and fruits that come up and with the various herbs that come up. And also just how I am beholden to the earth in general, but also that, you know, the cultivation aspect is really something that also resonates with the rest of life. And I love the imagery of, of the heavenly garden, of the divine garden with all of the highest values of beauty and joy and togetherness and all of those things. So it was a really special dream, and I'm so glad that it's the one that came to me to share with you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Teresa. Of course, the last step we often do in a sharing process of this kind is we look for temporary closure by asking the dreamer or the teller to come up with a one-liner or a bumper sticker. So I'm going to ask Teresa to do that in a moment. My bumper sticker, Teresa, if I purloin the dream and borrow it naked my own, is I'm bringing heaven to earth. What is your one-liner?
Oh, wow. Well, I really like Paradise is a Garden.
Yes. Paradise is a Garden. That is actually, look it up, etymologically, yes. That is the origin of the word. And that is the conception of paradise. I guess, actually, for people of all traditions, all cultures, actually, when we take people or encourage people to think about a desirable life on the other side, they often start out by finding themselves in something like a garden or a beautiful park with flowering trees. You're familiar with this, and so am I. So it's what a lovely, beautiful dream. And, of course, it's the kind of setting, it's the kind of dream scene which you can return to any time you like, can't you?
Yes.
It's physically around you, so it's not remote from the embodied world. All right, Teresa, I'm going to give you a short dream report of my own from a long time ago because I was doing bibliomancy early today with one of my old journals. It's very short, and it's got a different style because, you know, I guess I'm a very verbal fellow. But I'm going to share with you this tiny report. I was just playing the game of which I like to do because I've kept journals for many decades. I've kept journals for 35 years now with disciplined, you know, passion and on and off since my teens. So it's a dream I chanced upon pulling an old binder off the shelf from more than 18 years ago, early 2000. Are you ready?
Yes.
So the title is The 600 Aspects of the Child Self.
Wow. 600 aspects of the child self.
The 600 aspects of the child self. There are just two. I'm just quoting it from memory. I'm not reading it. There are just two elements in the dream. The first is I am walking with a woman friend, a very good woman friend, through corridors in what seems to be a university, some kind of campus complex. And she is showing me a manuscript that she has written. And it's about the idea that there are 600 aspects of the child self. And in the course of what she's showing me, what I'm reading, what she's telling me, I learn that there is a psychologist who has developed a popular approach called analytical journaling. That's the title of his approach. Analytical journaling, it's not as boring as it might sound, but what he's encouraging people to do as they keep their journals is to recognize that their personal stories are interweaving, interlacing with universal and archetypal and earth-related themes. So he's encouraging people to recognize that your personal experience, your personal dream, might be part of a collective or a larger mythology, a bigger story, and it might be connected with nature. And this seems to be a very promising approach, and I like it very much. That's a summary of the old dream that, as I remember it, that I discovered by opening an old journal at random today. So take it away,
wow.
Do with it what you will.
My gosh. Well, this is a wonderful, wonderful dream. And the first question I want to ask, since you have given the wonderful title of The 600 Aspects of the Child Self and told the story so beautifully, I would like to know what feelings you had upon waking from this dream.
Well, I did not record my feelings back in the year 2000. My feelings of discovering it today, I can talk about that, for ones of some degree of joy and excitement. I did not. It's an old handwritten report. It's just a couple of paragraphs. I did not on that occasion do what I now tell people to do all the time. I did not write down my feelings. But my feelings today are of joy and excitement and, of course, some curiosity.
Super. Okay. So I would love to know, Robert, what the number 600 brings to mind for you?
Well, it brings back the stories of ancient battles, actually. I think I'm a product of the Raj. I'm a product of the British Empire and Commonwealth as an Australian, you know. I think 600 was the name was the number of one of the British cavalry units in the old war in the Crimea in the 19th century. It was either the Light Brigade or the Heavy Brigade. I can't remember which. Walt Simpson wrote a poem about them. I used to recite that as a boy growing up with an Anglo-Australian schooling. I didn't think of that until you asked me. I absolutely did not think about that earlier today. So there's a sort of galloping, sort of cavalry charge sort of quality to the number 600 for me. But I'll let you go into your question.
Okay. So then you have this woman friend with whom you are walking through corridors in what appears to be a university.
Yes.
Are there any associations with this woman friend or with the university setting that you are walking through?
Well, actually, this woman was one of those who encouraged me to start my training for teachers of active dreaming, which, of course, you have done.
Mm.
And this is the period, you know, nearly 18 years or so ago when I began to formulate that idea and put my plans together. So she was one of those who stirred me and spurred me on to develop the training that you and many others have now taken. So she had had a very important seminal role in pushing me to bring our version of dreaming to other teachers and instructors who could bring it into the world.
Wow. So I'm wondering, is she someone who is an academic, or is there some relationship to kind of an academic setting that you see with her?
Well, she's not an academic, was not an academic. I was briefly an academic. Unlike you, I got out of it rather early on, but I was briefly in my misspent youth a junior professor of ancient history. And part of me, I suppose, in a parallel reality, is the Moss who became Professor Moss and has a reasonably distinguished academic career. But, of course, now I'm Professor Dumbledore rather than Professor Moss. We do have a school.
Absolutely.
School organized along conventional lines. We do have a school of active dreaming, and maybe in
absolutely
that respect, the dream was anticipating what would be born.
Uh-huh. Wonderful. Okay, and so the other prominent aspect of the dream appears to be this psychological concept of analytical journaling, and you're talking about the theory having to do with interlacing stories between different individuals' lives and how we are all connected to kind of a mythic story. Is this an actual psychological, concept, this analytical journaling?
Well, I sort of suspect that the psychologist being referred to in the dream is me. I mean, I'm sometimes hesitant to apply the what part of me approach to dreams. But I rather suspect the psychologist is not someone who's out there, but the me, who's integrated some ideas from analytical psychology, particularly from the depth psychology of Jung, for example, and who agrees, as Jung and James Hillman and others tell us, and Joseph Campbell tell us, that dreams may be personal myths and myths might be collective dreams. And I follow that in a lot of my teaching. I lead lots of courses about involved with personal mythology, living your mythic edge, this kind of thing, in which I help tease out from people's dreams the universal elements without reducing the dream to some universal grid of understanding. So that approach that this unnamed psychologist is following in what I learned of him in the dream is very close to what I do, and I'm doing more and more of it. I mean, I'm very conscious in my own life of living on a mythic edge. I'm very alert to how dreams and synchronicity might connect us with the never-ending stories of humanity. So that's all good stuff. And, of course, as you know, journal practice, the practice of keeping a journal every day you possibly can, is absolutely central to what I do and I teach other people to do.
Absolutely, yes. So I guess we are on then to our next question. Do you feel that there are any aspects of this dream that could come about in the future, whether literally or figuratively?
Well, I think some of it is playing out now. I commented on how I'm doing a lot of work overtly about linking personal mm-hmm. dreams and synchronicities to the universal myths and the archetypes without trying to put mm-hmm. anyone's personal experience into a box of you know, uniform understanding. Mysterious, and it's something I want to know more about, is the 600 aspects of the child self. I am often engaged with helping people to bring back parts of the child self that might have gone missing and to connect with aspects of their personality they may not recognize and be living an ordinary life. And so that is a theme we will pursue. Teresa, we have to take a break. These things come up, but we are sort of partway through the four-part lightning dream work process with my dream. When we come back after the pause, Teresa's going to go on working my dream by telling me if it were her dream, she'd think about this and that. So listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss, our wonderful guest, artist, and dream teacher, Teresa Vasquez, will be with us after the break.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
You're listening to Where the Dream with Robert Moss. Do go to my website, mossdreams.com. You'll see that I'm in the midst of leading a new online adventure called Living Your Mythic Edge, which relates very much to what Teresa and I are talking about right now. Our wonderful guest is Teresa Vasquez. We are partway into demonstrating our four-part lightning dream work process of sharing dreams and stories. And Teresa is about to ask me, in relation to an old dream I found by opening an old journal at random, an old dream called 600 Aspects of the Child Self. Teresa is about actually to tell me, if it were her dream, some of the things that she would think about. Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay. So, if it were my dream, I would certainly be compelled to look at this number 600. And, you know, 600 is a number that to me is a little bit mysterious. I don't have real strong associations to it, but it strikes me as a number that is very large. If I had 600 of pretty much anything, I would perhaps feel somewhat overwhelmed. But it strikes me that when you think of kind of different pieces, it really goes very well with the idea of the analytical journaling that you were speaking of in the dream. And if it were my dream, I would wonder if these 600 aspects of the child self are those aspects that are kind of tied up in the synchronicities and stories and mythical connections between perhaps myself and 600 other lives that I may have had, past lives come to mind, maybe parallel lives that I might have access to. It might make me wonder about connecting with 600 other individuals also in my dreams world and how the journaling and making those connections within the journal would allow me to see those connections much, much better, much more clearly. I also think about, for example, the story of Osiris, how he is broken into different parts that then Isis has to see about recrafting together. So there's definitely kind of some energy there of the puzzle that we have. And I think about a concept that you discuss a lot, which is the concept of anamnesis and the process of remembering the soul and remembering it through dreams and synchronicities that take place. So perhaps all of those little bits and pieces that make up 600 aspects of the child's self, would come into play. And the fact that it's a child, the fact that it's the child's self, these aspects are full of potential, full of growth, full of future promise. So they're parts that I want to connect with. And so perhaps using my journaling, and I know that you have untold numbers of journals, and, you know, this process of going back and doing bibliomancy with them is so rich. So there seems to be the promise for me, if it's for my dream, of actually being able to observe and connect those 600 aspects of the child self.
That's brilliant, Teresa, and provocative. You're stirring so many thoughts and associations in my mind which have not reached me until you spoke. And one of them is that 600 might be 6 times 100. In other words, the power of 6 raised, you know, by 100, factor of 100. So if I think about 6, I have all sorts of associations. I think, for me, 6 is a number associated with the heart center. This comes from Kabbalah. Mm. 6 is the number of Tiferet, the heart center. In Tarot, it's the lover's card and the major arcana. So I have all sorts of associations with the number 6. I dreamed once, you're reminding me, that there are 6 fundamental stories, 6 essential stories in the human experience, and that all the other stories are variations on the 6. I don't know whether I believe that in my ordinary mind, but it's something I dreamed and that I played with. Now, in my book, Active Dreaming, I talk about it. I think I actually offer 6 essential stories that you can riff upon and think about. But also 600, I'm not going to forget that number. I'm going to look for it and play in my life. And there's something else. I talked about it briefly, and you brought me back to it again. You know, we have so many aspects of ourselves, and we have so many aspects of our child self, our younger selves, that we may not be in contact with. So many people we were, so many people we might have been. There's, we often think about what happened to that magical child. She's fully alive in you. I see that in your wonderful art and your love of life and your creative and caring concern for people and for gardens and everything else. But we know the soul loss, as shamans call it, is a common phenomenon. We can lose touch with child aspects of ourselves. And in the larger sense, the analytical psychologist sense, we may be out of touch with many aspects of ourselves, which we've left in the shadow, not just the dark shadow, but sometimes the bright shadow, simply parts of ourselves we're not using and connecting with. So I am going to, you're about to ask me for my action plan, but I'm going to continue to think about all those different aspects. That's just quick feedback to you, with great gratitude for all you brought to the surface.
Well, this is a truly wonderful dream, and I would be very interested to know, what is your action plan?
Well, I think a very specific action plan is I'm going to continue to think about and explore the number 600. I was amazed when I gave you that reference back to childhood, because my father was an army officer, and although he didn't push me in that direction, he would sit down with me with pictures of old battles, battles from the British Empire, battles in the Crimea, Charles the Light Brigade, Charles the Heavy Brigade, and the first thing that came up was a childhood, boyhood memory of pictures of British soldiers riding on a horseback against the Russians in the Crimea. That's the first thing that came. And that's part of my boyhood self I haven't been much in touch with. So I guess I have to think about the 600 and look for more boyhood aspects of myself.
Well, it sounds like you're connecting with it right now. And so what would be your what would be your bumper sticker or your snapper for this dream?
Well, I'm going to call it the Charge of the 600, and I'm playing on words. I told you these stories about old images of cavalry charges, but the charge could also be something you were charged to do, something you were, you know, authorized or empowered or instructed to do. So the Charge of the 600 is my bumper sticker, because it also means I'm being pushed, I'm being authorized, I'm being directed to explore the 600. The Charge of the 600. That's great, Teresa.
That's a wonderful dream. You know, and the part about the military, history and the military connection also makes me wonder if, you know, if you have an army of...
We have a gentle, peaceful dreamers army that can help to quiet and calm and harmonize some of the situations of a conflictive nature in our world. So let me just pull back from this for a moment. We're going to take a break shortly. But let me just say, Teresa and I demonstrated both ways round, first with her wonderful dream of the garden and second with my old dream, surfacing through bibliomancy, of the 600. We both demonstrate a very simple, easy process you can learn. You can learn this. You can do this with a dream or story. You get full instructions in my book, Active Dreaming. Go there for one place. Go to the Robert Musk blog. You might find it there as well. You learn this. You internalize it. You find you can open a space with just about anyone, just about anywhere where it's fun and interesting and entertaining and productive. Share a dream or a story, and that is a great gift, and that helps to make the sharing of dreams and stories a popular art again. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest is Teresa Vasquez. We'll be back to learn and play more after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest is Teresa Vasquez. I must play pushy author for a moment. My new book is coming out this fall, pub date October. You can pre-order it if you can't wait to put a hand on a button. Its title is Mysterious Realities. Its subtitle is A Dream Traveler's Tales from the Imaginal Realm. These are just so stories from my adventures and the adventures other people have shared with me, of traveling in the many worlds and the parallel universes and places where the dead are alive, adventures and synchronicity. So it's a little bit early to mention it probably, but my publishers decided to make it available for pre-order from the usual suspects like Amazon, so I'll mention it now. I'm very proud of this book, best writing I've ever done. If you like Borges, if you like Neil Gaiman, if you resonate with the story of Scheherazade, who has to come up with a fresh story every night to avoid death, which is a story I'm currently living in my life, you'll probably enjoy this. So go to my website, mossdreams.com, also for information on all the workshops I'm leading all over the map and the online courses. And speaking of all that, Teresa Vasquez, wonderful teacher of active dreaming, who you might be able to persuade, I don't know, to do some personal coaching with you if you can't get to a live workshop. She is really a remarkable teacher and inspirer and creative person. Teresa, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Well, the best way to get in touch is through my website, and that is TV Dream a World, and it's T-E-A, V as in victory, I-E, dreamaworld.com. And there you'll be able to view my artwork. You'll be able to learn about the dream work that I am doing. And currently I have a lot that's coming up that I'm really excited about. Actually, in a couple of hours, I am going to be at the Tube Factory Art Space for their First Friday Night Market. And that is a place where I get to feature my artwork, which is really inspired by dreams and really inspired by the work that I have done with you, with all that I have learned from you, Robert, and being able to capture the themes from my dreams or the feeling tones through painting. And also, I've got a couple of workshops that are coming up. I will be on Sunday, August the 5th, from 9 to 12. I will be at Camp Chesterfield for their summer workshop series, and I will be leading a workshop called Dreaming with the Departed, which is a workshop that I've done in the past, and it's an opportunity for folks to connect in dreams with their dearly departed and to get timely and useful information for their lives and to learn why it is that we dream with the dead. Also coming up in October, on Sunday, October 7th from 1 to 4 p.m., I will be back at Camp Chesterfield for dream reentry and tracking. So this is a really exciting workshop where people get to re-enter the dreams. We talked a little bit earlier about re-entering a dream, and as long as you have kind of a dream portal to re-enter, you can go back in, and you can even take friends with you and get more information and learn new things that this dream portal has to offer you.
Well,
also,
thank you for yes. Let's let people go to your website, because believe it or not, our international audience are not all able to come to you. So before we do that, let me ask you a question. Are you available for personal coaching by Skype or something like that for people who cannot get to you physically to the workshop who would like to learn more from you?
I certainly am, and I am very available to discuss any number of topics of dreaming with folks. One special area that I am interested in developing further and working with folks with is the whole aspect of dreams and creativity, how we can use our dreams as wonderful doors into our own creativity, and how we
yes.
can activate our creative genius,
yes.
which is
yes.
there for us. And
hey, Teresa, you're lighting creative fires all over the globe as you speak. Let's remember, however, the audience for this program is international. There probably are not a huge number of people, although they might turn up for this show when we get the word out, who are in your immediate area, and I'd love them to come to your workshop. But I'm just saying, lots of people want to find you now. So we're going to give you your website again before the end of the show. We'll get up on my website. I think I'm going to ask you to do a guest blog with examples of your artwork where you talk about,
okay,
you know, what you do to inspire creativity from dreamings. And people are going to want to find you because you are terrific. You're inspiring, you're mobilizing, you're energetic, and you've just covered three areas. You're about to cover more that I'd like to pause and talk to you a bit more about. The first is absolutely essential for so many people. It's dreaming with the departed. I will say this, and perhaps Teresa will give her own point of view. The number one reason I have encountered why people have been uncomfortable about sharing dreams in ordinary circumstances have decided to open up and tell a dream is they've dreamed of a deceased family member. It seems real. It seems important. It might be happy. It might be sad. It might be confusing. It might be mysterious. But they need help, and they need confirmation that this might be for real. So the whole theme of helping people to understand that communication with the departed is not weird, it's not even really supernatural, it's actually quite natural, particularly in our dreams. The whole theme of confirming and validating the fact that we can have conversations with the departed, especially in our dreams, and can accomplish healing and forgiveness and mutual guidance and support. This is essential stuff. So tell us a little bit more about your approach to that theme.
Well, with dreaming with the departed, like you say, Robert, there are many people who come with fears. They really are perplexed. You know, why is Grandpa showing up in my dreams? You know, why are these things so real? It seems as if he's right there in front of me. And, you know, in active dreaming, you know, we very much believe that when we connect with the departed in our dreams, that they may have messages that are very timely for us, that they need to convey in a timely fashion. They may be reassuring us that they are okay on the other side, and that they have found kind of their place in the world beyond. And there's so many different reasons why they might come to us. They might come to us. I know you told the story of, you know, having a loved one come and say, you know, make sure to do this or make sure to do that. Check on this, check on that, so that they can have an agent to, you know, make certain things happen in the world of the living. So there's so many different reasons. And we need not be afraid. You know, this is a normal part of life. It shows us the continuity of life, which is incredibly important so that we can live our best life while we're here.
You slipped in a very important statement there. It's important for life, and it's important for understanding the continuity of life. As far back through the human experience on the planet as we can track, probably the principal reason why we humans have believed in the survival of consciousness after death is we have either received a visitation from someone who is no longer alive in this world, no longer has a body in this world, but certainly alive somewhere else, or because we have made a journey. We've traveled ourselves beyond the body into a realm of the dead or alive. In those two ways, by receiving visitations from the deceased or by traveling into their realm, we know as humans, those of us who are alive to dreaming, that soul or consciousness is not confined to the body and therefore survives death. So when Teresa talks about the continuity of consciousness, the continuity of life, as one of the things that we learn through interaction with our departed, she's talking about something fundamental, because I'll add this idea. If you know through first-hand experience that there is life beyond death, I think you live differently. I think if it's never occurred to you to think about it, or you've heard some hand-me-down religious version but you don't really trust it, you don't necessarily live all love in the full thrumming realization that this life is a journey between worlds. And if you don't understand that, you can get into all sorts of trouble. I think that's why conscience disappears. We see this in our governing classes all over the place. People are living as if there are no consequences, if conscience doesn't matter, if soul doesn't matter, because they don't understand that there are other worlds and other agendas. So coming alive to the fact that there is life beyond life is an essential thing, and contact with the departed is one of the ways we know that. As Teresa says, our departed can be counselors, they can be everyday angels. My father, after his death, spoke through me to my mother and got her into a safe living environment in ways I wouldn't have known how to talk about it had he not told me what to tell her. And then last year, in my own health story, he came back from a long way away. I thought I'd lost contact with him, because he was doing a lot of things since he physically died, to give me a personal health advisory, which I acted upon, which is very helpful and very life-supporting. So this is a huge subject. Teresa mentioned another area, which reflects a core element in our practice of active dreaming, which is what she calls dream reentry. This means that if you have a dream or an image actually of any kind, some juice, some magic, some terror, some energy, some emotion, some traction, you can learn to travel through the portal, through the gateway of that dream or remembered image, and do some good, overcome a fear, solve a mystery, talk to your departed grandmother, develop a personal gateway to the multidimensional universe. So, Teresa, we're going to take another break. When we come back, let's talk about dream reentry. Let's talk about your personal experience of that, and if possible, what we have seen and accomplished for other people. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest is artist and dream educator and teacher of active dreaming, Teresa Vasquez. We'll be back after a short break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you are interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
You are listening to Way of the Dreamer. We're having a wonderfully good time on this program with Teresa Vasquez, artist, dream teacher. Teresa, I waver between Vasquez and Vasquez because, you know, I teach in Spain these days.
Yes.
So the Castilian lisp is coming back. Sorry about that. I can't help it. First way I talk Spanish, and it's coming back. Anyway, give people your website again, because people are going to want to be in contact with you. I think it's up at my website. But Teresa, give your website address one more time.
Sure. It's tvdreamaworld.com, and I'll spell that. It's T-E-A, V as in victory, I-E, dream, D-R-E-A-M, A, world, W-O-R-L-D.com.
What a great address. Well, we'll make sure you can find it at my website, mossdreams.com, so you can find Teresa that way. And I'm going to get a little more of Teresa onto my website and hopefully into my blog so you can find her. We started talking about one of the essential techniques of active dreaming, my preferred name for my original synthesis of dream work and shamanic journeying. Dream reentry, in essence, is the art of taking a dream or something like a dream, a visual image that has energy for you, and learning to travel through that image as a doorway that can take you where you need to go. You might need to go somewhere to resolve a nightmare fear. You might need to go somewhere to have a conversation with someone who appeared in your dream, maybe a departed family member. You might need to travel because you want more adventure. You're having a great experience, but you're interrupted, have to get up, go to work, you'd like more. And there's so many other reasons. Teresa, talk to us. You're leading a workshop in dream reentry. Talk to us about your approach to this and what you've discovered and learned from others who practice dream reentry.
Well, to me, Robert, dream reentry is probably one of the most valuable core practices of active dreaming because it allows you, like you said, to deal with any variety of dreams that are perplexing or frightening or that you need more information on. I know for myself, there was a dream that I had, and I'll try to be as short as I can, but essentially, a departed friend's mother was telling me, where is the water? She followed me and she gave me that message. And it was very kind of cryptic. And when I did a dream reentry, I actually did this at the first dream teacher training that I participated with you. We did a dream reentry, and I actually was able to see, like, geysers of water just shooting up, you know, from the area that we were in inside of this home. And to me, that water had to do with kind of finding the creativity that had dried up for me. And so it was a really seminal, very, very important dream. And if I hadn't done the reentry, if I hadn't had the chance to act it out with Dream Theater, with all the other dream teachers, I wouldn't have been able to mine the richness of that dream or understand the importance of making sure that my creative life is activated, that I make it into a practice, a daily practice in my life. And doing that has truly transformed my life. It's caused me to go into an area of work that I had not anticipated, and it's been really amazing.
That's beautiful, and I want to riff on it for a moment. I mean, here you are, you go back in, you find the water, you find the spring of the muses, you find the fountain of creative inspiration. It sparks a couple of thoughts and memories in me, so I'm just going to give you my quick associations. As I hear you, if this is my story, I remember in the Greek myth, the spring of the muses on Mount Helicon, the spring of creative inspiration, is opened under the beating hooves, the stamping hooves of Pegasus, the winged horse. That image is coming to me strong. And so is an image from Morocco. The people in Morocco, a tribal people in Morocco, who think that poets are the most important people. They may have it right. And they say that all poetry comes from flooding. Something rises so strong, the waters cannot be held back anymore. The waters are streaming and flooding, and that's where inspiration comes from. The other association, so that's celebrating the sense of creative gift, creative power, creative potency that came to you through your dream reentry. The other memory that is coming to me is of a dream reentry experience by a woman who came to one of my workshops some years ago in New York City. And she was troubled because she had dreamed that her departed mother was stooped under the weight of two heavy metal buckets. The mother in the dream is carrying the heavy metal buckets like a Chinese coolie. She's bent almost double. The dreamer is very distressed. She starts weeping when she talks about it. So I say to her, with my usual diplomacy, if I were you, I'd get back inside that dream immediately and ask my mother what's going on. And she's somewhat startled at the idea she could do that, but I tell her, you will do it if you choose, with the help of the drumming, and she does it. She steps back inside the dream, Teresa. She confronts her mother. Her mother looks up, there's eye contact, and she says, what's going on, Mom? And mother says, these buckets contain the weight of your tears. Until you stop breathing for me all the time, I can't get out from under the weight of your tears. My gosh, that was such a tremendous message. And the daughter changed her life. When she next dreamed of Mom was fine. Mom was no longer stooped like a Chinese coolie. They released both of them. Released both of them from the understandable but sometimes terribly burdensome, you know, burden of guilt and grief that we carry. So that was a dream reentry involving water, in this case tears, that led to immediate healing for both the departed and the living.
Absolutely.
And then you talked about, you know, your own creativity, which is immense. We're going to get some more, if with your permission, we're going to get some more images of your wonderful art up on my website and or blog as soon as possible. And if you want to, I'd like you to do a guest piece about how you create from your dreams and put some pictures with it. But tell us how you approach this theme with other people, how you encourage them to use their dreams to get more creative.
Well, I think one of the main things is realizing that through our dreams we can access so many aspects that are not kind of fully formed. We can kind of catch imagery as they flow through our dreams, and we can see that imagery kind of transforming over time. When you have series of dreams, you know, that have similar imagery. One of the things that we do is I'll be teaching the core practices of active dreaming to those who want to nurture their creativity. And so that we're working in tandem with all of the various types of strategies of active dreaming, things like lightning dream work and dream re-entry, as well as, you know, finding guides, you know, finding whether they be power animals or spirit guides. We're also going to look at the art of a variety of different dream artists. Folks that are very wide-ranging, but, I mean, some of them are artists, for example, from your own Australia. We have artists including Hilma Akklint, who was a Swedish artist of the 20th century. And, you know, she painted really remarkable scenes from her dreams. A southern black woman by the name of Minnie Evans, who also painted from her dreams, and this was her main expression, though she was a self-taught artist. The imagery that she was able to visualize in her dreams, she was then able to translate into pencil drawings and paintings. And there's a rich history of dreamers who are artists, certainly. William Blake comes to mind.
Oh, yes.
Certainly Jung himself. I mean, there's a rich history there.
Yes. We were talking about the creative history of dreamers, and Teresa gave some wonderful examples. For more on that, you might want to go to my book, The Secret History of Dreaming, which has a lot of about the role of dreams as an engine of creativity, particularly in the world of writers and scientists, but in other fields as well. Teresa, you've been an absolute joy to be with in this conversation. We've just zipped by, which is what happens when you're having a good time. Do you have a last thought or provocation to offer people before we part company?
I would encourage people to really engage and make their action plans and really engage with those action plans, because when you make reality, you know, in the world of that we're in here, when you bring that dream into reality, it is truly transformational. So
exactly.
Don't miss the opportunity.
Yes. Well, the title of this show is Dreams into Action, and Teresa's talking about real magic. It's the art of bringing gifts from another world into this one. We do this when we embody and act upon the energy, the guidance, the healing of dreams. You've been listening to Where the Dreamers Love It Most with our wonderful guest, Teresa Vasquez. From now until next time, may your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.